when you watch them, they're extremely disciplined. The fundamentals are there, and they always, I think, play almost, I wouldn't say above their talent level, but he gets the most out of the players he has on his roster. You see also the development of players who are drafted outside of the first round, really talented guys that Brandon Bean has managed to find later. But I do think Sean McDermott, given that that's his side of the ball, deserves a lot of credit for that. They've had turnover, too, on the coaching staff as well.
Mina Kimes was on with One Bills Live yesterday talking about Sean McDermott. Got to that point yesterday about McDermott and Bean and who gets associated with the defense. It's always McDermott and rarely Bean. And in the case of Von Miller signing a couple of years ago, it's a Bean move, right? Like, I mean, maybe both, of course, but big baller Bean. Was it born that day? Might have been born that day. Might have been born the day they traded up for Josh. I mean, he's made big moves, big trades up, you know, some pretty big swings along the way. And I have a Twitter poll up about Von now that Von is off in Washington for his next stop. Miller signs with another contending team. And I did click a link of highlights of his 2024 season. There's some plays in there. You know, it's a place. Maybe Bills fans kind of don't remember. I certainly didn't. I'll admit to not remembering that Von did get to the quarterback a good number of times this season. He had six sacks. I did not remember six sacks from Von in limited playing time. I know he had a good pass rush win rate because we, you know, kind of went over PFF's numbers during the season. Could he be brought back? Six sacks. They said thanks, but no thanks to a guy with six sacks and moved on, cap hit, all that. Anyway, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Joe's off today. The Open Championship is underway. We'll give you updates on that as we go along today. Open Championship's first round, and Scheffler's on the course. Shoffley's on the course. So, anyway, 803-0550. On the Von thing, how about this? You know, one of the things this Bills team has not really done since, I'm trying to think, like the last swing, the last big baller move. You know, the whole Bean sunglasses pick. Like, what's the last gamble? It's probably the Diggs trade. It's probably trading away Stephon Diggs for a second round pick from the Texans and going into this offensive identity of the everybody eats thing. But past that, you know, drafting Kincaid, is that a big baller move? Maybe. You might think so. Trading down with the Chiefs, you might think that's take some guts, right? I didn't like that move, but whatever, take some guts. And the last two seasons for me, the last two off seasons have kind of been, you know, just like knocking down pegs. Like, all right, do this, draft, get a bunch of players in, sign in free agency. No real big signings that I can think of. It's locking up your own before the bill comes due, Bernard and Shakir and Rousseau, all right, getting ahead of the game, you know, smart, prudent signings. And there's a lot of value in those. So, you know, no criticism there. The Von signing was not necessarily we are one player away, but it was very much a go for it. We're going for it. We're pushing all in. We're going to convince him, come here, win the Super Bowl. That's off of 13 seconds, right? That's off of, like, let's go get this thing done. And they add Von Miller, and man, like, they're the favorites. It's, this guy's a Hall of Famer. He's still at the top of his game. He had a big part in the Rams winning the Super Bowl. And the Bills in that moment take a guy off of the Super Bowl champs, and they wanted him back, and brought him here. Big money, big gamble. And as it's over now, we kind of look at it and say, like, well, didn't work out. I do think that the prevailing opinion is the gamble was worth it. He was great. He looked great. And then he got hurt on some bad turf. Rob tweets in, I blame the turf. Von was great until he got hurt. He was living up to the billing. And if he doesn't get hurt, who knows what happens in that season. Maybe it goes differently. Maybe their season ends differently. Maybe the play. I don't know. It's tough. It's tough to know. But do you think that there's any chance the Bills look at that and think, well, given what it did to the cap, given the age of the player, I don't know if we're going to go big game hunt like that again. I don't think so. I don't think that they'd be scared off. I certainly hope they wouldn't be scared off. And at SpotTrack, I'm just playing around with next year's unrestricted free agents. You could even kind of line it up as the same exact situation. What Von is today is older. He's like 36. 36. So when they sign him, he's 33. Right now, TJ Watt is a UFA at the end of the year. I don't know what Pittsburgh's going to do. He's not happy about his contract. Want to give TJ Watt a huge contract, top 10 defensive end, pay him at age 33? Trey Hendrickson, he'll be 32. Want to do that? The Bengals don't sign him long-term. He hits the open market. I know the Bills did just sign Joey Bosa. They added Landon Jackson in the draft. But would anybody be less likely to do it because of what happened with Vaughn? You get an older player. It's the twilight of his career. You hope to still catch what he has, but it falls apart. Gets injured. Bad luck. Them's the breaks. At the Twitter poll that I posted, it is pretty well established. People thought, like, you know what? Worthy gamble. Was it a worthy bet or was it a bad bet? And we're at 77% saying worth it. You know, I know what it did to the cap. You can get around that stuff. You can work stuff. He took a restructured contract. I mean, even the cap implications that came with that deal, he redid his deal after he got hurt and saved the Bills some money on the cap. So, you know, we know it's a cap that can be worked with, and I hope they're not the least bit scared off by this. There's a point to be made of like a Sabres comparison. Cousins and UPL and some of these other long-term deals that they signed. Samuelson, of course. You know, I wonder if they'd be a little less likely to bet on young players early because a couple of them didn't go well. You know, these GMs, they're constantly changing. They're evolving like anybody would be in any sort of job. Like, all right, I did that. Would I consider it a mistake? Because I don't think I consider the Vaughn signing a mistake at all. I think it was a good signing. I think it was a good idea. It was a worthy bet. He got hurt. That does happen. And he got not only got hurt, but he got the kind of injury that took him out for a year and change. The entire second year of that contract was a nothing. He got hurt in year one, half a year gone. Year two, they bring him back. He is a non-factor. He might as well have missed the entire second season. And looking at his numbers, like, it does jump out. Sack totals by season for Vaughn, 8-0-6. Now, the comeback was not as good, but he was serviceable in 6 sacks from Vaughn in 13 games last year. The Bosa parallel is worth getting into a little bit here. And a question I've asked about Bosa, I'll bring up again. Just a moment. 803-0550. 1-888-550-2550. Vaughn off to Washington. One other thing about Vaughn, like the off-the-field stuff happened. You know, there's an allegation, and that kind of ended up going away. He did speak very positively of Buffalo. Maybe that's a reason to look back on it, as, you know, it went okay. It's just, it's unfortunate the way that on the field, the way that things ultimately ran. But if you have a thought on that, love to hear from you. 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. On Vaughn, now with Washington, chasing a Super Bowl. Ron in Alden. Hey, Ron, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy. I have a two-part question. So with White coming back, would he be considered the type of player that, like, if he never played for the Bills, and then would he be the name, like, hey, that's a big name, even though his injury come back? And what are we expecting from him this year? I'm just wondering, like, we brought him back. What kind of expectations do we have for him this year?
For who? For Trey White? Ron? What did Ron say? Ron say Trey White? I missed. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Josh. I missed right at the beginning. We cut out my headphones. What kind of expectations do people have for Trey White? I think, I mean, you tell me. You call me, you tell me what your expectations are before you hang up, Ron. Call me, you have to call back, but I think people have expectations that Max Harrison beats out Trey White for the job, and they really hope that he does. What's really always kind of jumps out at me about Tre'Davious White, I mean, he's an all-time Bill, right? Is he a future Wall of Famer? He was amazing. He's one of the best players they've had in this McDermott Bean era, undoubtedly. He's arguably one of the best players they've ever had. And the thing that jumps out at me about Trey White that's always so kind of amazing, he was only gone for 1 year. It feels like you haven't seen Trey White play since COVID. Right? 2021, he plays 11 games and gets hurt. He comes back in 2022, gets hurt again. In 2023, four games. He's played in the last one, two, three seasons, 10 games for the Bills. And that's why it feels like he's been gone forever. Trey White's been gone for 1 year. It's nuts, right? He went and signed with the Rams, got traded to the Ravens, played 11 games last year. He played more games last year than he did in his previous two seasons with the Bills. 11 games last year. The previous two seasons played 6-4. So you are so far removed from Trey's prime that I feel like expectations on him will be managed. We'll know who he is. We'll know that in terms of, you know, team history, his important role and kind of helping build this thing up. As Mina Kimes there, we played the clip coming in. McDermott's defense is for 1, 2, 3, 4 seasons. Trey White is part of the backbone of that defense. I like to point out how often it was White, Hyde, and Poyer. The three of them played, 60 games together on a defense that was consistently excellent. And like is often the case, all good things come to an end. Hyde and Poyer, their time timed out. Trey White's time came earlier than it should have. I mean, with Poyer and Hyde and their ages, that's a little bit more of it. It kind of ran its course. Micah Hyde's 34. Trey White's 30, and he might have been done, 2-3 years ago? Like Trey White is a great example of an injury. Like this league just chews guys up, right? Vaughn's going to make the Hall of Fame. He played enough years. He's a first-ballot Hall of Famer. Would Tre'Davious White, if he never got hurt, he'd still be here, in year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? He'd be in year 9? We're talking about number retirement? I don't know. I mean, but expectations for him now are just different. If he wins the job, I think that's a problem, right? If he wins the job, people will think that the first-round pick is, I don't know about a bust, but it's year one, and it's right out of camp. Josh Allen didn't win the job out of camp. Nathan Peterman won that job, and then Josh was in the job by, week two? So, you don't want to put everything on what you think about Max Hairston in training camp, but he's one of those guys we're going to kind of expect to start off the bus. That's just how it goes. You get drafted in the first round, you're starting. This team did not have a lot of holes. One of the clearly identifiable holes they had was corner number two. Christian Benford's your number one, and you'd expect Hairston to just be ready. They drafted him for the fit. It's a different kind of fit than Kaiir Elam. Everyone seems to love this idea. He'll be ready. He's got speed for days. He's got speed arrogance, as they say. He's supposed to be a big play corner. I think that if Trey White wins the job, fans would be worried that your secondary has limitations. Dane Jackson, Trey White, he played for Baltimore last year. But I don't know. I'd be worried. 803-0550. Thanks, Ron, for the phone call. 1-888-550-2550. Rookies reporting around the league. Bills camp, first practice, 6 days. It'll be about a week from today. We'll be live at St. John Fisher with practice number two. And tracking the league, I do wonder, it's a little bit like the preseason pledge. However many years ago, probably 20 by now, the preseason pledge was don't trust anything you see in the preseason. It's all a lie. You will forget about the preseason in 2 months. And part of me thinks that this time of year, there's a lot of that same stuff. Oh, who's holding out now? Who's upset about their contract now? Who's missing a training camp practice? Who says they'll sit out? Right now, we are, like I said, less than a week from a lot of these camps being up and running. And I've got Terry McLaurin and Juwan Jennings and TJ Watt and Trey Hendrickson. We've got some pretty high profile, pretty big name players, guys that are difference makers. I mean, Trey Hendrickson's arguably a top 10 player in the league, and I don't know what's going to happen there. This was a issue with T. Higgins and the Bengals for multiple seasons. And Ja'Marr Chase, there's this issue for this time of year. but then they go away and you kind of forget about it. So part of me thinks all these deals will get done, and every year this time of year I just forget that there's a panic right before they all get done and we all get to camp. T.J. Watt, what are the Steelers going to do? Not sign T.J. Watt, not pay him? Make it make sense. How could that possibly make sense? They went out and got Aaron Rodgers. They're trying to do whatever they can for a kick at the can to keep Mike Tomlin on his streak of winning seasons. They want to win a playoff game. What are they going to do, like let T.J. Watt sit for money? Doesn't make a lot of sense. Hendrickson, that's different. Commanders and McLaurin, that might be different. But I tend to think it'll all get ironed out. And the latest example of that is the second-round pick scenario. We have not seen a second-round pick sign, but started the show with this. Overnight, late last night, the Niners signed Alfred Collins, their second-round pick, 43rd overall. And that should start dominoes in both directions. 30 out of the 32 second-round picks were unsigned. Now that number's 29. By the end of the day, could it be 26? Could we get three more? Why wouldn't these picks in the league and the entry formula, they all go kind of like dominoes. So I've got the first pick and the second pick of the second round have been signed. And now add in the 11th pick. Shouldn't 2 through 11 slot in accordingly? The Niners guaranteed 88% of that contract. So the second round pick saga has been owners and agents, or GMs and agents, and collusion, whatever, arguing over whether or not to guarantee second round pick contracts. I've got the 11th pick of the second round guaranteeing 88% of the contract. So now it's not just, are we going to guarantee it? It's okay, how much of it are we going to guarantee? How much? The 11th pick got 88%. Okay, what's the 9th pick of the second round get? That's TJ Sanders. 90%. The Bills guaranteed Keon Coleman his second-round contract. What's TJ Sanders worth to them? Are they really going to have him miss time for 10% of an $11 million total contract? Really, we're talking about with these picks now, picks number 35 through 43. It's about $1 million. Whether or not these teams are going to guarantee $1 million. And I guess if you're like thinking about the Bengals, who knows what they'll do. They've got their first-round pick sitting out because of language that he's probably right about. But if you're the Bills and you want T.J. Sanders in at camp, don't you just do it? Okay, all right, here. It's $1 million. It's 10% guaranteed on this contract. And now that I'm in this tiny little window of from the 35th pick to the 41st pick, it's pocket change. Imagine being afraid to guarantee one more million over a 4-year contract. By the time this deal is done, you know how much 1 million will be on the salary cap? It'll be like 1/300th of the cap. So when Adam Schefter reports this deal last night and says, I bet it gets things moving, I think he's exactly right. It's just this is not worth – it's a pittance. It's not worth fighting over. So we'll see. I would have no issue predicting that T.J. Sanders will be at camp on time and all these guys. I mean, I got Nick Emmanuel was supposed to be next up. But the fact that the Niners kind of jumped in the order and got it in, all right, dominoes in both directions would be my guess. So with all these off-season things that kind of happen, maybe every July we do this, and maybe every July the league and the players, let's all go make millions of dollars, and let's get off to a season. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 if you want to chime in on it. On the Vaughn thing, do you think it was a mistake? Do you think it's just them's the breaks? 77% voting in the Twitter poll, like pretty much them's the breaks. Happens. He was great. It'd be different if he didn't, in those first 11 games, show us what the Bills were getting. He showed out. Go watch those first season highlights. You'll not only see 8 sacks, you'll see game-ending sacks and forced fumbles and pressures that end games. He worked all game in that game in Kansas City on one move and then spun the other way to set up a delayed blitz from Milano to get an interception from Taron Johnson to win in Kansas City. Like, it's just, it was working. It was all right there. It was all working. And the Bills, who have been chasing a finisher pass rusher for so long, had one. And we saw it for 11 games. And really, that's it. And now on to Bosa, who I've asked the question, would you take 8 sacks? Vaughn had 6 this year. Maybe that seems like 8's low, but for a guy with injury issues and a low-risk, high-reward potential, would you take 8? I'd take 8. I think 8 sacks would be a good number for him. If there's more, that's great, but if you give me the floor of 8, I'm signing up for that. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jerry Ostrowski joins me at 9 o'clock. We'll talk to him about this Vaughn thing and also the Bills' offensive line finally getting its due on a couple of rankings out there. Ranking season in the NFL. Jeremy and Joe, no Joe today, just me. You can hang out 803-0550 here on WGR.